the rest of the story. In the spring of 1886, the Dominion Bridge Company began an impressive project, the construction of a cantilever railroad bridge to span the St. Lawrence River. On the south bank of the river was an Indian village, a part of the Caughnawaga Reservation, and the Indians said that they would grant permission for the bridge abutment to be built on their land on one condition, that Caughnawaga Indians be employed on the construction project wherever possible. The Dominion Bridge Company agreed, the contracts were signed, the Caughnawagas were hired as ordinary day laborers to load and to unload building materials, and that's history. But this is the rest of the story. The Indian workers, whose responsibilities were confined to riverbank loading and unloading, became irrepressibly curious about the bridge itself, and at every opportunity, the Caughnawagas would scamper out onto the unfinished superstructure of the bridge to inspect it. Foreman tried to keep him off, but could not. And when the Indians were asked why they were risking their lives, they appeared amused. There was no risk, they insisted. They simply enjoyed the view. The construction workers were utterly confounded by the Indians' indifference to heights. Most of the riveters had been former seamen who had spent years tempering their nerves in the riggings of sailing ships. Rarely were such men available in sufficient numbers. On the other hand, these Caughnawaga Indians, compelled by mere curiosity, would stroll out onto the narrowest, highest spans of that incomplete bridge just as calmly as though they were walking a forest path. And something else, the relentless, riveting noise, so penetrating that fledgling workers were often made sick or made dizzy by it, had no effect on the Caughnawaga. They seemed impervious to the deafening clatter. In other words, the Indians were natural-born bridgemen. Continually, they pestered the foremen to train them as riveters. And their fascination enabled them to learn quickly, and soon the most daring and the most difficult work on that construction project was being performed so easily, so casually, by three riveting teams comprised entirely of Caughnawaga Indians. And thus did the Caughnawagas write their names in the sky. They were remarkably agile and skillful. They were absolutely oblivious to heights and repetitive noise, and as such, they became the heroes of high steel construction. During the building boom of the 20s and 30s, they came to New York City by the hundreds. And they, the Caughnawaga, were largely responsible for the construction of the West Side Highway and the Pulaski Skyway and eight bridges, including the George Washington Bridge and a dozen buildings, including the RCA and the Daily News and the Waldorf Astoria and the Empire State. The loftiest, most treacherous work on each of these projects was accomplished by Caughnawaga Indians. Their gift to us was much of the glorious New York City skyline. And so, whenever the history of Manhattan is retold, don't let it be forgot that the Indians did not just sell it to the white man. They built it for him. And now you know the rest of the story.